It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Stay home. That's the message this Monday to employees from companies all over China. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. With more than 80 people now dead from the coronavirus and nearly 6,000 infected, companies like TikTok owner ByteDance, banking giant UBS, and restaurant chains all over the country are telling employees to work from home or take longer vacations. Meanwhile, the Chinese government extended the Lunar New Year holiday by 3 days to Sunday in an attempt to contain the spread of the outbreak. The BBC's Robin Brandt has more from Shanghai.
I mean, a good example is Tencent, a huge tech company here in China with tentacles spreading all over the globe as well. And it is ordering some of its employees to essentially work from home over the coming week. In the last few hours, we've actually had an order from the Shanghai local government for all enterprises, as it has described them, as well as schools, to shut down and not to resume business until the 7th of February for business and the 17th for schools. So what we're seeing is government and some private enterprise at the same time essentially shutting down, encouraging their staff to stay where they are, not to travel if they can, because, of course, the number one focus here is containment.
Now, S&P's latest estimate for an economic growth impact is that this outbreak could shave up to a percentage point from China's economic growth. Is there anything the government can do to offset that impact? Are they worried about that yet?
There is going to be a broader impact on the economy. Wuhan, the epicenter, is hugely important. It's historically a steel town, but increasingly car production and tech companies are there as well. It sits right in the middle between the interior and those big cities on the eastern coast of Beijing. So it's a really important transport and logistical hub. If this goes beyond in terms of severity, then essentially cities like Shanghai, the commercial capital of this country, are locked down and business isn't happening, then clearly there is going to have to be some kind of intervention to try and negate the impact.
The BBC's Robin Brandt in Shanghai. Thank you.
Thank you.
Stock markets in mainland China are closed this week for Lunar New Year, but some stocks in Asia are still trading. Japan's Nikkei dropped 2% today, while main European benchmarks are all down at least 2% now. Commodity prices are also down as traders bet global demand will fall with Chinese manufacturing cities still on lockdown. Brent crude is down 1.7%, while the price of copper is off nearly 2%. India's government is shopping around its struggling national airline, Air India, and it's sweetening the deal after a previous sale attempt in 2018 attracted no bidders. The BBC's Nikhil Inander reports from New Delhi.
Air India has 146 aircraft and owns 56% of its total fleet. It's also known to have lucrative international and domestic landing and parking slots, but the carrier has continuously lost market share over the last decade as it saw growing competition from low-cost carriers internationally as well as in the Indian domestic market. The disinvestment of Air India has been a key agenda of the Indian government, which has been trying to offload loss-making companies and improve its balance sheet in the face of the slowest economic growth in a decade.
Nikhil Inamdar. Many of us are buying less plastic, taking fewer flights, and using more public transit in an attempt to slash our environmental impact. But have you ever thought about how much scrolling through social media adds to your carbon footprint? The BBC's Ed Butler explores the hidden cost of data processing.
Sweet music. Despacito by Luis Fonse, a music video that back in 2018 was more downloaded than any other around the world. Little less known to most of us these days is the price that we're paying for this hot salsa on our phones and laptops. The energy consumed by global data servers in spewing out so many downloads of this one track has so far been enough to power 40,000 US homes a year.
The most commonly held estimate is that, you know, 6, 7, 8% of the world's power goes to feed IT and the internet.
That's Ian Bitterlin. He's a visiting professor at the University of Leeds and a data centre expert. By his reckoning, our inexhaustible appetite for ever more streaming and connecting to songs like the one we just heard means that at current rates, internet use is going to be close to a tenth of all energy consumption worldwide by the end of the decade.
The IT industry itself, the people who make the hardware, have all made huge steps in performance. The problem is the demand for data has consistently outstripped that technology growth.
Well, the upshot of all of this, of course, is that the internet itself really does contain a grubby, polluting secret. This has all kinds of long-term implications for our fight against climate change and for our push towards a digital economy. Take a technological pioneer like China, for example, a country where the growth of AI and the Internet of Things require exponential growth in data processing. Ruizi Ye is a climate and energy campaigner for the environmental group Greenpeace in Beijing.
73% of the electricity consumed by China's data center sectors was generated from coal and procured from the grid in 2018.
We need to understand the price of all of this Googling, YouTubing, Baiduing, you name it, and the effect it's having on Mother Earth. Data center expert Ian Bitterlin says there's simply got to be a point at which we limit how much we click and download.
In the future, you can easily see a situation where, as the power demand of the internet does ramp up, that cost will have to be passed on to people.
In London, I'm the BBC's Ed Butler for Marketplace.
On that note, let me know if you have any tips for getting to inbox zero. I've got 35,000 emails awaiting my attention. Ugh. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.